In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says to enter the narrow way. He says, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. He says, few find it, while many find the broad road. Well, it's not only a broad road. I realized this week that it is like a million-lane highway, superhighway. And any other way other than the narrow path, which is only 2 feet wide. Why do I say 2 feet wide? Because it's Jesus' 2 feet. It's literally Jesus. He is the narrow way. And every and any other way is one lane in that million-lane highway. From self-righteousness to atheism to paganism to worldliness to you name it, all of those are lanes going toward, as Jesus said, destruction. Yes, today, if you're visiting especially, first of all, welcome. It's really good to have you here. Second, I'll just tell you, today you've come for the fire and brimstone sermon. Literally, the text in Revelation chapter 14 in the King James Bible, I'll read from the NIV where it says burning sulfur. The King James says fire and brimstone. We'll get to that momentarily. We're going to look at, though, this million-lane highway. And by the way, I just happen to go this side. It's not to designate, okay? Maybe I'll switch it up. But the million-lane highway or the narrow path. I'm going to pause for station identification. Yeah. So we're going to look at what drives people on the journey, meaning what's the motivation for people to go down the million-lane highway, and also what's the motivation, what's the drive? For following the 2 foot wide path. I'm going to repeat that. I'm going to look at beginning the three parts of today's message. What drives people on the journey? There's the million lane highway. You know, what's in people's heart? What motivates? What drives? And then there's the 2 foot pathway, which again is Jesus. What drives people along that? And then looking at the direction. And again, it's either toward hell or toward heaven, but not looking at that quite yet. But simply, who are you following? Who are you following? Because if you're following the way of the narrow path, you are following Jesus Christ. And again, any or every other way is the million-lane highway. And then finally, the destination, where you will spend eternity. And this is one of those things where if you're looking for it in the Bible, you'll notice this throughout Scripture. It's one or the other. There's no other way. It's simply Jesus. He is the only way, or it's the path to destruction. So let's take a look at Revelation chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. I'm reading from the NIV. God's holy word, Revelation chapter 14, starting at verse 1. And again, this would be spoken by John the Apostle when he says, "Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of a harpist playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they remained virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes." They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. That would be the 2 foot wide path. "They were purchased from among mankind and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They were blameless. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water.' A second angel followed and said, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. It's the first mention of Babylon in Revelation. The reference will return again. We'll get to it more in a future week. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur," King James, "fire and brimstone, in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, or for anyone who receives the mark of its name." This calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God, who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. 2-foot-wide path. "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write this: Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them.'" Well, again, we're going to be looking at the two ways, the wide, broad, million-lane highway, or the 2-foot-wide, narrow path. What drives someone on the journey, beginning with the highway? And again, I'm just going to apologize to this side, but I guess I'm going this way with the million-lane highway today. What drives someone on the journey? Why on earth would anyone want to go on a million-lane highway to hell, to eternal death and destruction? First of all, deception, meaning they're deceived. They either think it's not going to hell, or they just don't know. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, says that the heart, our hearts, the human heart, is deceitful above all things. If already in your heart you're saying, "I don't think this is true. I don't think that many people are going to go to hell." The heart is deceitful above all else. This is what God says in his word. Similarly, Proverbs 14:12 says that there is a way. And by the way, the word way in Hebrew is derek. And that word derek, like the name kind of derek, can be way or road or path. And so Proverbs 14:12 says there is a way, there's a road, there's a path that seems or appears right to a person. It looks right, it seems right, it feels right, but it says it goes on, but in the end it leads to death. That is clearly the million-lane highway. It appears right. In the introduction in the bulletin, it talks about Saul, who we know much better as the Apostle Paul. When he was still known as Saul, he was traveling on the road to Damascus on his way to persecute Christians, those who believed in Jesus. They were called the followers of the way. And he was on his way to persecute them, and he thought, Paul did, Saul at the time, that he was doing the right thing. He was a Pharisee. He was living a religious, self-righteous, but he thought righteous life. Until Jesus confronted him on that road, literally, blinded him temporarily so that he could see, if you will, the light. And he met Jesus. And he found out he was on the million lane highway. It was kind of like he was on that one really narrow lane of the million lane highway called the way of the Pharisee. Righteous in their own eyes. Doing everything they thought right according to God's word when in fact they were doing everything wrong. He repented, went the other way, found the 2-foot-wide path of Jesus and went that way from then on. But to Saul, it seemed right. He was convinced he was doing the right thing. His heart was deceitful. He was deceived. There's many more. This could be, a week-long study. We're going to cover a brief territory here. Another reason why people are going on the million-lane highway is because of desire. Not that they desire that destination. Nobody does, if they really know. But the desire along the way, meaning the desires in one's heart, as the Bible calls it, the desires of the flesh. Here's Galatians chapter 5. Pick up at verse 16. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16, says, "So I say," this would be the Apostle Paul now writing this, "so I say, walk by the Spirit," that would be the path of Jesus, Spirit of God, "and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh, the human body, we desire what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh." Two ways. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, whatever you desire, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Pick a lane here on the Million Lane Highway. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, that's worshiping anything, anyone other than God, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. All going to inherit eternal destruction. I was going to stop there, but it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. If you're walking the 2-foot wide path with Jesus, in Jesus, of Jesus, following him, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's all from Jesus in the person walking with him, 2-foot wide. The desire, though, the desire of the flesh, human nature, all those things that were mentioned and many, many more, can lead us down that broad highway. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. By the way, this sounds like an opposite of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. There it's talking about the people, the souls in the world. Here it's talking about the worldliness, the ways of the flesh in the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, this would be Million Lane Highway side, everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world and its desires. It says the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Destruction. Now, there are some, and this is rather mind-boggling, I'm guessing, to anyone and everyone who's here at church this morning, but some who seem to know they're on a path of destruction and they just want that, meaning it's just evil, wickedness, evil, whatever you want to call it. Bible addresses this as well. Psalm 36, starting at verse 1, says, I have a message from God in my heart. Again, it's not coming from my heart, it's coming from God. Concerning the sinfulness of the wicked, there is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. Even on their beds, they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful course and do not reject what is wrong. This is people who say, I know it's bad. I think it is evil, and this is what I'm going to do. That's just, yeah. Psalm 1, verse 6. The end of the first psalm in this book of Psalms says, the Lord watches over the way, the road, the path of the righteous, but the way, the road, the path of the wicked leads to destruction, death. Again, throughout Scripture, it's only two ways. The narrow way is Jesus Christ. Period. The broad, I call it Million Lane, it's probably more than that. I didn't actually count, but it's really, really wide and broad. Jesus says many people find it. Now, I want to look at the drive. Why on earth, it's actually not on earth, but why would anyone follow Jesus? Why would anyone walk this 2-foot wide narrow pathway? What drives that person? Two answers today we'll look at. First one is, faith, believing in Jesus and what he says in his word, faith. Psalm 143, verse 8, from the NIV, it says, in a prayer to the Lord, it says, O Lord, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust, my faith, my belief in you. And it goes on, same verse, show me the way, the road, the path. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my soul. I believe in you. I have faith in you, Lord, but still I need you to show me that way. And he does. Beginning in the morning with a word of his unfailing, unrelenting love. And Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Probably a new couple verses for most people here today. Never heard this one. Kidding. Trust. Again, faith, belief. Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. With 1% of your heart. Trust in the Lord with, thank you, all your heart. You have heard this verse before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But it appears right. It seems right. Don't lean on that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In the NIV, it says, in all your ways, submit to him. I like that. And he will direct your paths or make your path straight. And again, that is Jesus following Jesus. That's it. It's so simple, really. It really is simple. It's follow Jesus, believe in him, listen to him, respond to him, or destruction. It's so simple, and yet it is so incredibly hard, right? Faith. Driven by faith. And secondly, it's one thing, and I think this is actually a line from The Matrix, the first movie. I'm not sure, but there's a difference between knowing the path and following or walking the path. And you might say, well, I have faith, I believe, and I believe that God is saying, yes, this is the one and only right way. And then God says, well, if you believe, then actually walk in it. It's one thing to see it, to know it, and to say I believe it. It's another thing to take that step and say, okay, Lord, I am going to follow you against my own reason, against the world, against my fleshy desires. I need your help again, but I'm going to follow you. This is obedience. Another movie reference. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Anyone see that movie? Few people willing to admit it. Okay, so there's a scene. This is going back a few years again. But Indiana Jones, he's seeking the Holy Grail. Whole other story there, but that's the main story. But he comes, he's following this book that gives him instructions on how to find it. And Indy, he comes to a very narrow opening, what looks like a cliff wall. And he comes out, and then there's a big chasm in front of him. And I see some nods. You know where I'm going with this, I think. There's a big chasm, and across the way, in the other opposing cliff wall, there's another narrow opening that he's supposed to get to, and it's way over there. And he looks, and his instruction at this point is a leap of faith. He's like, I cannot even come close to leaping that far. Meanwhile, Indy's father, Henry Jones Sr., Indy's real name is Henry, by the way, Henry Jones Sr. is saying, you got to believe, boy. You just got to believe. He's dying. And he needs him to get over there. And Indy says, I got to believe, take a leap of faith. And he actually then like calms down, closes his eyes, and his foot goes out over the chasm. You know, there's a pause there. You feel it. With his eyes closed. And he steps. And he's held. And then the camera angle shifts. And you see that what was invisible from his eye, from looking straight ahead, now from a different angle, you can see there's this narrow strip of stone, a stone bridge between the two openings, that the only way to see it, to know it's there, is to actually step on it. You can't see it until you step on it. This is really similar to the walk of faith. The Bible says we live by faith, not by sight, and not by our own understanding, not by our own hearts, against all of that. Is this easy? No. If you're nodding, saying, oh, yeah, you walk. Would you have done that? Boom. This is what God is saying to do. We don't see God like we see each other right now. We go by faith in what he says. By faith we see and we know in a way that is beyond this world, beyond our own understanding, beyond the whole world saying, you're crazy. Yeah. Fool for Christ. Faith and obedience. That well-known, famous hymn really sums it up. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and take the step. Walk, obey what he says. All right, point two. The direction. Again, it's either heaven, following Jesus, or the million-lane highway toward death, hell, destruction. But instead of looking at direction like a compass, I'm going to say simply, who are you following? Or what are you following? But it's really a who, ultimately. And three ways down, well, three things to follow down the Million Lane Highway. There's, again, many, many more. But first of all, the beast. And this is referencing chapter 13 in Revelation we looked at last week a bit. The beast, again, is not a single character. It's well, we'll just go on here. And I made up a word. It's in the outline. Because I was thinking of misguided, but it's actually disguided, meaning it's disguised misguidance. Because the beast is usually not recognized as such. People don't think they're following a beast. They're misguided, but it's disguised by, ultimately, it's the dragon, which is the devil, who's even behind the beast. Now, last week, during the sermon, I asked this question, talking about the beast, and I said, what is the spirit of this dark age, meaning the evil spirit of this dark age? And I looked out, and I said, I can see thought bubbles above your heads, because no one said anything out loud. After the fact, I realized I think most of those thought bubbles were empty. Because I had a discussion with a person whose sage counsel I take to heart, and she said, I wasn't sure what you meant by that question. So then I thought, what did I mean by that question? So empty thought bubbles. Maybe you had all the answers in there. Well, let me give you a clue this week of what that really meant. The spirit, meaning evil spirit, meaning the beast of this dark age, which the Bible references as this whole age until Jesus returns, by the way, is anything and everything that is anti-Christ. And I'm not talking about the Antichrist. By the way, the word Antichrist is not in Revelation. It is in other parts of the Bible. I think it's in 1 John or something, but it's not in Revelation. But I'm talking about just against the spirit of Jesus, and his word is of the beast. For instance, in case your thought bubble is still empty so far, I'll give two examples. What Jesus says is, in order to follow him, you must deny, anyone know? Yourself, right? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. If you're going to follow him, that's the way to do it, Jesus says. Let's just pause on the first part. Deny yourself. Going back almost 100 years, 1923, 99 years ago, a magazine was founded called Time. 1923, Time magazine started. Now, that's a pretty big subject. Time. I like that. So, 13 years later, 1936, another magazine came out. It's called Life. That's a big subject. Time. Life. Wow. Go ahead, another not even 40 years, till 1974, a magazine came out called People. Okay, we went from time, life, to now narrowing it down to the human species, people. Still pretty big category. You might see where I'm going. Only 3 years after People came out, another magazine came out called Us. It could be just you and me. It could be us as a group, you know. But now we're narrowing it down from people to us. Guess what came out only 2 years after Us? A magazine called? I heard it. Self. Right. We went from time, life, people, us, self. And once we get people, we hit self really quick. By the way, this isn't a magazine, but in 2004, something else was founded. It started. It came out. It's called Facebook. And in 2007, something else came out. I don't have it on me. The iPhone. I don't know how many years ago, the first time I heard this word, selfie. Yeah. Now we're used to that. I admit I've taken a few myself. But you see where this went? We're just within the last 100 years, where did the focus all go? And what does the spirit of the age say today? Jesus says, deny yourself in order to follow me. The world says, our own heart says, the flesh says, and our society now says more than any time before, I think, oh, it's all about self, right? If you were to ask people on the street, you know, anyone outside of church today, basically, what is sin today? What is sin? Most people, the spirit of this dark age, would definitely say sin is not a sinful person rebelling against a holy God. No, that's not sin. What is sin today? Sin today is if you upset or offend someone else's self-identified sense of self. Am I right? That's sin today. That's what the beast says. No, that's not sin, by the way. To offend someone, Jesus says you will offend people if you stand on the truth and if you witness to me. You will, and people will hate you. Jesus says that. That's the narrow path stuff. So I'm going to go on to the next one. Jesus says, you get this now, the thought bubbles are filling in. One more. Jesus says this, and this one might hit even closer to home for some people here, maybe. Jesus says you cannot, on this path, serve both God and mammon or money. Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money because you will love the one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. Jesus says. Now, for some people, many people, it is money. The Bible talks much about that. It said people eager for money with greed, they actually wandered away from the faith and lost their faith because of the pull, the desire for riches. But you know, you could fill in that blank. It might not be money. And here's the beast. Here's the spirit of this dark age says to Christians, oh, yes, you can. Jesus says you can't serve both. The beast, the spirit of the age says, of course you can. You can have your faith. You go to church. You can believe. Say you believe in the Bible. And you can still pursue money. You can still pursue fill in the blank. It might not be money. It might be whatever it is your heart desires, yourself, this. Fill it in. All right. That one hits, right? I think it hits every single one of us if we're honest. What is that? I mean, how do you spend your time? Where's your focus? What's in your heart? What's your desire? Is it over here or is it? There's prayers in the Bible too. We need the prayers. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, but Lord, help me seek this. Your face and your glory and you alone, because my heart, wow. John Calvin said the human heart is an idol factory. We're just churning out our own idols, like, continuously. I'm going on a whole nother sermon. It's still in here, but okay. Let's move on. The direction. Who are you following? That was the beast, spirit of the dark age. The world. And here, they blur together. They go together. But here I'm kind of getting away from some of that and into just spiritual complacency that we hear in the world. Now, you might have seen a bumper sticker or something that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. So I got a whole bunch of Fisher Price at home. I'm like, toys. No. You can fill in the blank. And by the way, toys, you know, cars, boats, expensive items, clothes, whatever it is, again, that's in your heart, that idol factory. Fill in the blank. Money, power, influence. Well, you have influencers today, and they have what? Followers. The language is right there. It's like right in our face. Yeah. Whoever dies with the most, you name it, power, influence. And also the world says, oh, by the way, because it's just for here now. Don't worry about the end of the time here on earth. Just live for the moment. Collect all you can. I was looking at words that end in ISM, isms. And the list could go on a million different ways. And the world, I think, works this way too. Get caught up and you fill in the ism. Let that be what you live for. It might not be an ism, might be something else, some other cause, some other group, political something or other. Let that take over your heart because it'll pull you this way. Because this way is Jesus, period. All the rest is this way. I know this is hitting too. It's hitting me. I think it's hitting everybody. Even patriotism, even goodisms, even materialism, liberalism, conservatism, nihilism, capitalism, fascism, socialism, you know, you name it. Let those take over and distract you and pull you away from Jesus. It's not an ism. All right. Anything in and of this world that captures people's minds, hearts, and souls, right? Mark chapter 8, going to Jesus' words again. I mentioned some of this earlier, and by the way, sometimes the editors of the Bible, yes, editors, meaning they put subtitles in and things that aren't part of the Word of God, but this one I like, because right before what I'm going to read, it says, the way of the cross. The road, the path, the way of the cross. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple, my follower, must deny themselves, take up their cross, instrument of death, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And that is for all time, for eternity, beyond time. Then he goes on, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Yes, Jesus said this adulterous and sinful generation 2,000 years ago, and it's been a sinful and adulterous generation since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Following, finally, we'll go more briefly on this one, the dragon. And the dragon, as you saw in Revelation chapter 13, spells it out. It is, or chapter 12 might have, the devil, Satan, that's who the dragon is. And how are people following the dragon? Well, the dragon, the devil, he goes direct attack on God's word. Doesn't mess around sometimes. Says, just close this, first of all. You don't need to read this. You don't need to believe this. And if you do read it, question it. Doubt it. That's the devil. Especially the devil will cast doubt regarding sin. Right? The severity, the reality of it. And, along with that, our need for a Savior. The devil will do everything, anything he can to get you to think you don't really need a Savior. You're doing just fine. Don't worry about that sin. The devil will also attack Christians for their testimony about Jesus and about God's Word. The devil will attack. And he's effective. He is effective. Well, okay. Along the footpath, who are you following on the narrow way? Who are you following on the narrow way? Thank you. Jesus. Period. John chapter 10, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, Jesus says, my sheep, speaking of his followers, his disciples, those who believe in him, he says, my sheep know my voice because I am the good shepherd. They know my voice and they follow me. Jesus says, his sheep, his believers, his followers hear and take the step and actually obey and follow him. Boy, the greatest psalm, well, I should say the most well-known psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me along paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah. He restores my soul. He brings me to green pastures, quiet waters. And we're going to go to the destination for the next part. How does this psalm end? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's heaven. God's house with him. Following the Lamb. By the way, Jesus is the Lamb and the Shepherd. Both. Savior and Lord. Destination. Here it is. Where will you spend eternity? The million-lane highway, the broad way, leads to destruction, and that is hell. And this is what Revelation 14 says. A few verses about it. I'm going to go to verse 10. Revelation 14, verse 10. The second half. By the way, it mentions cup of God's wrath, and some of these things we are going to come to again in Revelation. I know you're all wondering, oh, when are we going to talk about the cup of his wrath? So, but here's the last part of verse 10, it says, they, that is, those who are following the Million Lane Highway, the ways of the beast, away from Jesus, who reject him, says they will be tormented with burning sulfur. And again, in the King James, that's fire and brimstone. This is what God says in his word. Verse 11 says, this is, awful. It's not awesome. It is awful. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, or anyone who receives the mark of its name, which is anyone on the broad road to destruction. Relentlessly restless. I know people, when people die, R.I.P., rest in peace, is often said. For those who have not believed in Jesus Christ, who have trusted his death on the cross for their sins, there is no rest. It's the opposite. Have you ever gone over 24 hours without sleep? How did that feel? And then every minute beyond that is excruciatingly excruciating. It just keeps getting worse. Can you imagine an eternity of no sleep, like we are now, of no rest? And not only are you not resting, you're being tormented with burning sulfur. And I know people don't even want to read this passage and talk about hell today either. Oh, don't talk about hell. I heard this by Sam Storms about this, responding to, you know, people who might say, well, maybe it's just for a time, but it says forever and ever. But here's the thing. We've already read in Revelation, and we'll read again, that those who have rejected Jesus to the point of death, it actually doesn't end there, meaning they still don't repent. The hardness of the heart that rejects Jesus is just beyond comprehension for those who believe. Like, why? So that means they are still sinning in eternity. They're not cleansed. They're being tormented as they're still sinning in rejection of all that God is and offered forever. Yeah. Heaven. Mentions here in verse 3. They sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, who had been referenced earlier in Revelation. This is the throne of God in heaven. So as they sang a new song, now don't worry, I know sometimes it's hard when we introduce a new song, we're like, oh, I don't know it, it's unfamiliar. This will be a new song that you, if you believe in Jesus Christ, will know, and he will give it to you, and we will be singing. And even if you say, I'm not a singer, you will be a singer before the throne of God. And how long does this go on? Forever and ever. Worshiping God, which is why we were created, to know him, love him, respond to him, and worship him. And enjoying Sabbath rest. If you ever gone 24 hours without sleep, how good did that rest, that sleep, feel when you actually got to lay down and close your eyes? Wow. This is much better. This is rest for the soul. This is the Sabbath rest that God talks about from creation. The seventh day, when God himself rested, who he doesn't need to rest, but he did set that apart and establish that for our own Sabbath rest on the path in Jesus forever. Rest for your soul in Christ, and worship, and much, much more. Jeremiah 6:16, back to the Old Testament with this amazing verse. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. And by the way, this could be every moment of every day. We are basically at a crossroads. What's my next move, my next thought? Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. So ancient goes from before creation. God had all this in mind. He had Jesus in mind to save us. Ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The good way. And then it says, and walk in it. This verse is in the bulletin outline. And the Lord promises, you walk In the way of Jesus, you will find rest for your souls. Heavenly Father, this is your word. These are your words. I pray that anything I've added today on my own is acceptable, is in alignment with what you have said, God, to us. If not, I pray you would give us the thoughts of the Bereans to know by your Spirit and by your word. Above all, Lord, we know this is true. Jesus is the way of salvation and of eternal life. Lord, help us to trust you, to follow you, to walk in obedience behind Jesus, in Jesus, with Jesus, no matter what. Because, Lord, we are so weak and the world is so overwhelming. The beast, the dragon, our own hearts lead us astray. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Lord, we need you as our shepherd. We need you as our Savior for every step, even now. We pray. And Lord, for all those who are on the Million Lane Highway and beyond who don't know it, or some who may think it or know it, don't care, all of them, Lord, as long as there's breath, there's hope, I pray today, as you did with Saul, who thought he was on the right path, confront them by your Spirit, draw them to Jesus, turn them around. I pray for your glory that so many, many more would be together around the throne to praise you in your kingdom. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.